Nobody knows who Tracy Lange is, but if I say feed him, everybody knows to expect rap. The man himself is here on The Antidote. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I really appreciate you making the time and having me on the show.
Now, you got to help me set the ground rules here. Should I be calling you Tracy, or are we going to go with Feedum?
Yeah, we go with Feedum for the purpose of this interview.
You bet. You've been doing rap for quite a long time now. Your first album, You Can Know the Half, came out back in 2015. But were you involved in music before that release?
Yes, I was involved in music from like so secondary school. I don't know what that is. I started to lean into music, you know, just on the playground, playing around with a couple of friends, rapping, just going into the youth clubs, trying it out, you know. But I never became serious until later on in my days. When I gave my life to Christ, that's when the Christian side of rapping came into play.
I want to hear about that debut. What was it like heading into the studio to record that? Like, did you know exactly what you wanted to make?
No, I didn't know. But I definitely, in my heart, once I gave my life to Jesus, I really wanted to share the transformation that happened inside. So many things just happened. Like, I wasn't the same person anymore. And I was just blown away by that transformation. So I wanted to share that, share the story, like it's possible. And also just share my testimony. Hopefully that would bless those that will listen to it. So the saying that goes, you don't know the half of it after you've shared something. And then people usually say, you don't know the half of it. Like there's more to say. But I was like, actually, you know what? That half of it is not something that I should be holding on to. It belongs to God. So that's why I named the project You Can Know the Half. It all belongs to God. It's to His glory.
And that's also why you took up the stage name Feedum.
Yes, Feedum. It's actually inspired by Matthew 4, verse 4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So for me, it's about feeding the word of God through music, from milk all the way to meat. So that's the mission. That's the name behind the artist.
That's perfect. Well, you obviously made that first album very Christ-centered, you know, especially with having songs like He Reigns. So that was always been the point, to make it obvious that you're sharing about Christ.
Yes, that was it. For me, the first ever song I wrote was a testimony story to a friend of mine who witnessed my transformation. I wanted him to have something as a point of reference that breaks it down in a way that he can listen to it, that's palatable, maybe better than just having a conversation. So from there, it was like, oh, okay. I saw his response and he even started to explore faith. He's a Christian now, so praise God. But it's just like he started to explore faith, wanting to go to church. And that's kind of like I started to find a lane within this space where it's like, okay, I can rap for Jesus, I guess. And then figured out that, oh, there's actually a subculture, a movement of both artists and believers that use the same method. So yeah, that's always been like the heart behind what I do.
Oh, that's so cool. You know what I find difficult to handle about He Reigns is the background story, where you say, I'm from a place where the saints will cast the first stone. I could have been another body left without a soul, a burning tire around my neck, screaming, die slow, as I melt into black life in my own burrow. Where did that come from?
Man, it's deep. So we're going back. That scenery would be a young man. I think I was around, I want to say 8 years old, and I was living in Angola, which is a neighboring country from where I'm originally from. Mm-hmm. I moved from Congo to Angola. And when I was young, I was given something to eat by one of my close relatives. And he turned out to be an opening into witchcraft. So from a very young age, I was involved in spiritual things. And there was a lot of fear around it. Like, people died from being labeled a witch during that season. You can get burnt alive. Your family can throw you out. You know, so I'm going from a very deep place, as you can hear in the lyrics. It really is like a young person who's fearful. I don't know if I will make it. I'm going through deliverance forcefully. And everything I'm experiencing is really just bringing a lot of fear to me. And so that's where I'm coming from. And it's a reality of many people. I don't know how it is right now, but we're going back in like early 2000, late 90s, where these things were happening to young people in Africa. So yeah, like I'm from a place where the saints will cast the first stone. Everybody wants to have this righteous image and point fingers and take out the stress on somebody else that seems like an easy target. And I felt like I was an easy target. But that's where the way that was coming from.
Oh, my. Well, here, on a lighter note, who or what was it that pulled you into making music?
Yeah, music has always been part of, like, growing up. My culture is very vibrant. They love music. I used to love dancing. I thought I would, I knew I would always do, like, either dance or art or music. But the first artist that really made me want to rap would have been Tupac. When I first moved to the UK, one of my cousins put on a song from Tupac on my MP3 back then. And when I listened to it, I was like, oh, this is just the way he expressed himself, the freedom, the way he was rhyming, the passion. It was like, I love this form of expression. Let me have a go. And then I started to have a go from there. Then obviously I got exposed to all the hip-hop rap that was going on in the States. And locally in the UK, we had our own sound, our own version of hip-hop called grime. And that really resonated with me because it was authentic. It's my next-door neighbors, really, that are doing this. And I started to imitate and found that as another way of expressing myself through music. So that's really my journey into wanting to pick up the pen and write and also rap.
Okay, but you've got to explain grime. How is it different from traditional rap?
Yeah, so grime is an electronic dance music based in the UK. It comes from like dance hall, UK garage, which was very much like a club anthem in the UK. And then you got the garage, you got the dance hall, who did more of the chatting style of emceeing. So it's not necessarily like rapping, but they call it chatting, which is like speaking on the mic. So a mixture of that, and I would definitely say rap and hip hop would have influenced it too. So it's like a mixture of all these different genre, and then you just got a UK slang, the UK vocabulary is very explicit. We take pride in just being authentic in grime. So what's different about it? It usually sits around the 140 beat per minute tempo, but then there's all different kinds of flows and expression within it. So yeah, it might sound similar, but it has its own roots into existence.
It keeps the UK unique.
That's it.
Flipping back to something that you said earlier, you're talking about your own personal story. And I'm guessing that that comes from the song Nobody Knows. Because it does lay out your life story and how you changed. It says, I gotta spill it. As I am, nobody understands, but Christ knows my innermost. No, he is not concerned about a good approach. He wants your hurt, man. Clearly, he already knows. I find it difficult to be that personal. Has that ever been an issue for you in your music?
I think music is the outlet where I am most personal, exposed, and just... It's like a conversation with God before man. It gives me the freedom to be as transparent. I don't know, something about just being creative with your reality and putting it out there to the glory of God is relatable. People also connect to it. I feel that music has really given me that. Where in my day-to-day, I'm quite reserved, to be honest. I'm quite reserved. I'm not always like having deep conversations or sharing my stories and struggles, especially when you've been through a lot of traumatic events, that you need an outlet. And music has been that for me. And I think that the bigger picture is that the fact that God already knows it all. He sees it all. He knows it all. There's nowhere to hide. And your story is for His glory, and music is the lens that we use in to do that.
Something else that's unusual about that song is that it delivers this gospel vibe from the background singers.
Yeah, it was such a good. I just liked what I heard in the beat. That gospel vibe. I don't think I was like consciously looking for it. I just liked the way the beat sounded, especially because I was in the mode of, I just want to tell my story. I want to be as transparent as possible. And then you got a song talking about nobody knows how I feel. It was like, oh, this is just the perfect backdrop for what the season that I'm in and the stories that I'm telling. So it was just perfect.
You know, with you speaking to me, you make it sound as if you're more of a preacher than you are a rapper.
You know what? Rapping is basically rhythm and poetry, and people are the vessels that they channel whatever they want to pull through that. I just know that I am called to share this message. What's happened to me is not the usual. It's unusual. There's a purpose for it, and I want to ensure that when people hear this message, they are looking in the right direction. That makes me a preacher. Praise be to God.
We got to talk about where you live, London, England. Now, that city is enormous. Does that make for endless possibilities for an artist, like even a Christian rapper?
Yeah, it's funny because you can go from like one end of London to another, man, like an hour and a half. It feels so small because of like the transportation and everyone kind of go to the same big festivals and but yeah, it's still a big city, no doubt. And yeah, because the backdrop is set against multicultural, you've got multiple churches, you've got historical, like you got the city, then you've got the greenery. You can go a little bit in the outskirts. It's just so much. It's endless in terms of creative expression. It's a melting pot. You can borrow from so much of the culture that is all in one place. So I feel like it just expands your outlook in life, living in a city like London.
So then, would you say that mainstream crowds are willing to accept your message, even though it's coming with a Christian content?
I've had the opportunities in some mainstream platforms, and I was actually just thinking about this recently. When I started doing music, I never really thought that I'm rapping for Christians. I always wanted to rap for people that are not saved, people that need to hear this message. So they haven't always been open to it, but there's been opportunities that have come. I was hosting a radio show in a mainstream secular radio station called Freedom Session, and it was on a respected station, and it was strictly Christian music. So I feel like there is like a tug of war. There's sometimes they're up for it, but they are not always willing to keep it at that level of exposure. So I might go on BBC one time and I'm on TV and I'm doing my music. Or I might get played on a radio station that's doing quite well, but it never. They never keep you there for as long as they would keep another secular artist. It always seems like you've got a period of time, you've got a little short window, enjoy the moment. After that, you're not going to be called back. You never know when you're going to be called back. It's just like that, really.
Your 15 minutes of fame.
Oh man, yeah.
Let's pull in another song. In 2022, Feedom released Murder the Flesh Part 3. Now, we've all read about that in the book of Romans. But in the song, you actually take that further. Care to explain?
Murder the flesh. I think, yeah, talking further, we really like to look outside for who is our enemy, but really and truly, a lot of the battle is deeper within. It's our own body that has its own desires and passions that can mislead us. And the enemy tempts us based on our nature almost. If your nature is like Christ, you will respond Christ-like. I'm taking the picture of the temptation. The enemy tempted Jesus based on who he was. He was the Son of God. There's no if about it. But if your flesh is weak within that moment, you are likely to turn the stones into bread because you are you're leaning on your flesh. And you can be misled based on your flesh. But to murder the flesh is to die to self and to die to those passions, to die to those desires. So it became for me on this song, in taking the fervor, as almost like spiritual warfare against the sin that my flesh wants to lean upon. And my belief is if I die to those things, I can be more Christ-like. I can win the true battle that is coming from external forces. If I conquer the flesh, I can conquer what is out there. Greater is he that's in me than the one that is in this world.
Absolutely. A little bit earlier, you were explaining about how your style is grime. And I guess that's why you called your 2024 album Gospel of Grime. You really summed it all up there. On that release, you had a pair of songs called Not for the Radio, Part 2 and Part 3. So why did you give them that title? I mean, because after all, we are playing this on the Antidote Radio.
Yeah. So Not for the Radio is a double entendre. First meaning what I am doing is not for mainstream approval. It's not for commercial purpose. It's not for that. At the same time, also, there was a lot of discrimination in the early grime stage where there was this saying of like no hats, no hoods when you go to certain venues. And there is understandable in the naked eyes, but deeper within it became more about segregation and particular youth and culture or backgrounds. So Not for the Radio is basically saying we don't need that approval. We can start our own culture and do what we want to do. And I feel like with the gospel grimes and the Christian rap, we've had to create our own avenue because the mainstream world will not have us. And that was parallel to grime culture in the beginning stages. It wasn't accepted by everyone. It was seen as like an outcast. So yeah, Not for the Radio is really saying, just embracing that and saying, yeah, we will keep building on what we believe and stand on it, whether it's accepted or not. That's basically the angle around that.
Well, I'm still wondering about acceptance for your music, because I've heard that you perform at schools and community events. Now, what about clubs or festivals? Does that happen for you?
Some places accept, but no mainstream festival. I've never performed at a mainstream festival. I performed at community festivals enough for them to say, yes, we need this on the stage. But when it comes to the mainstream festivals, I don't really get on those things. But Christian festivals, yes. And even when it comes to going to schools, it hasn't always been accepted. It depends on the area you go to. Some areas, they tell me already, you can't preach Jesus. They just give you a rundown of what's expected. Inclusivity, you know, there's people of different faiths here. So there's all kinds that get said beforehand. So it's about navigating this culture through the lens of scripture, also being aware of what's accepted, what isn't accepted, and just being able to navigate enough to sow a seed and then pray that somebody else comes and water. And that's really what it's been like.
It's hard to make that crossover at times between mainstream and Christianity. I mean, obviously, there's been guys that have had a lot of success, like Lecrae in the hip-hop scene, but that's certainly not universal.
No, it's not. It's not the reality for a lot of us. But the true reality is definitely that one must lean upon his calling, understand who he is, have your own unique voice based on what God has mandated for you, and carve that lane for yourself. We can't all do what Lecrae does or what anybody else does. I have my own lane, my own purpose that I have to follow God's voice. And that might lead me to a mainstream platform, or it might just lead me to a Christian space. And that's the beauty of it all. And I thank God that I had this understanding earlier that when it comes to the word of God as food, as our daily bread, it can be milk and it can be meat So having that understanding, it means sometimes I can have the common grace ground with people and just share milk if that's where we at. And it also means I can flip the scriptures and go deeper, talk about deeper spiritual things.
So much of music generated by Christians is often considered to be pretty light. That's never been your way. Like on City of Warfare, which may be the shortest song from Feedom, but is just as impactful as anything else you've done. And the song goes, "Caught in a wing, can't view like an eagle. No weapon prosper if it's lethal. That's just a prayer for my people. I hope you've seen the sequel." Is the city really that tough?
Oh man, the city is crazy. This city is it's a crazy, crazy place. There's so many avenues that's misleading. And this is definitely real from the lens of the temptations that I face as a young person. I've been involved in things that I shouldn't be involved in. Poverty, wanting to fit in, wanting to be accepted. There's just so much temptations and the enemy's really out to get you. And in a city where one end you've got the rich, next place you've got people that are just barely meeting the bare minimum, surviving, and you're seeing what the next person has, you don't have. And instead of us channeling that into positivity, the easiest low-hanging fruits are usually negative. And I was one of the people that was caught up in that negative lifestyle, crime of stealing and doing things that I shouldn't do just because I wanted to obtain some money, some respect and things of that nature. So yeah, the city is a big challenge.
I've been wondering about the music Feedom is doing. Are you making this as an independent artist, or have you hooked up with a label?
I've been doing everything independently since 2015. I've had like opportunities to do songs with a label here, but nothing major. I'm not signed to any label. Everything I own independently, I invest in it. I've created this ecosystem where it works for me.
Do you think it would be too limiting to be with a label?
If it's a good partnership and there's mutual understanding, I think it's meant to amplify what's already good about an artist working with a label. But unfortunately, I have seen some contracts that is very limiting. I'm like, wow. It's like you don't own anything, and the splits are not good. So you have to be vigilant. You have to be well educated and understand what you are putting yourself into. And if it's really right for you, it's not like not everybody is just meant to get this great record deal and be famous, you find what's right for you and be content with the steps you're taking to get to your goal, really.
Of course, the thing is, too, with a label, is that not only can they limit your income, they can limit your creativity.
Definitely, definitely. I've found that experience more so with like publishers and people that work within like sync organization. They'll give you a straight brief. This is the kind of sound we want. Do this, do that. So I can imagine the deeper you get into even labels being more like that. A lot of horror stories as well. People have signed to labels and they've just been put on the shelf. They can't release for this. Oh my goodness. It's just like, I don't think art was supposed to be like governed in that way. It's meant to be like just freely expressed. If you have the support to do it, run with it. But if the support comes with all the strings attached, I don't know if that's the right move.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, you've been hard at it this year because you've already released a pair of songs. There's Archive and the new single Task. Now, you connected with Surfer Boy on both of them. What was it that he was adding to the songs?
So Surfer Boy, he's signed to a indie label called Worship Music Records. Yes, he's signed to that indie label. And I was talking to the founder of that label. We were trying to create some electronic sounds specifically around festival season and like Christian youth and just electronic dance being that the bedrock of that. So he introduced me to Surfer Boy. Surfer Boy, I sent him Archive. I told him just remix it, because that was a remix. And when I heard the sound, I'm like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. Let's do some more. Then he sent me a demo, which was turned out to be Task Later. So he's adding heavy bass, electronic sounds, just very futuristic vibes that is not necessarily something I can just label and say, this is grime or this is rap. It's a different sort of niche and audience that we are tapping into together. So I feel like together we are creating something quite special. So yeah, I really did enjoy the process. Obviously, he's in America, I'm in the UK, so back and forth on the digital way, communications to trying to get the song perfected and ready to release. And I'm grateful that it's finally out.
Oh, that's so cool. Why don't you tell us about Task? What's the focus of the song?
Yeah, so I think I was going through a really challenging season with the place that I was working. And there's always the saying of elephants in the room and not really addressing the elephant in the room. And a lot of people love to say that, oh, I'm standing on business, I'm standing on job. When I feel like I'm challenged, I'm a stand on what I believe on. And I was going through a season where I really had to stand on what I believe on. I had to stand on job, stand on business, and also address the elephants in the room where I believed the organization I was working with should be upholding Christ-like values, because that is who we were at the core, but that wasn't reflected in reality. And I had the choice of either compromising and just becoming, I don't know, valueless, or standing up for myself, which led me in a lot of trouble, but I wouldn't have it any other way. So Task is my response on that. I'm grateful that I stood on business and I would do it again. If I feel like we're compromising, we're not really representing who we say we are representing, things are not right, I will speak up. And that's what Task really is. So I mixed that with some lyrics that I had prior, but the chorus is really about just what do you know about staying on Task in a room full of elephants and playing with the word of elephants in the room and standing on business. That's really what the song is about.
Right. Feedom has been at this for a decade. So how many more decades do you have left?
Yeah, you know, when you get to 10, you just say, yeah, here's to 10 more. But I pray it's beyond that. I pray that I just continue to evolve, that my sound evolves, and my creative expression evolves. If it becomes just a poetry, no rhythm, then that's what it becomes. If it becomes written form, if it becomes films, yeah, I pray that I'm here for a very long time.
Yeah, we want to hear that happening.
Thank you.
Feedom, this has been a good one. Thanks so much for coming for this talk with The Antidote.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate such a good conversation. And I pray that it blesses those that are listening. And may they connect and listen to more of the music. And let's connect on the social media and platforms as well.